Welcome back to the Social Work Social. My name is Melanie Matthews, and I'm a registered social worker. Last season, we explored the world of mental health treatment by sharing information and stories told by social workers. This season, we're going to go even deeper by exploring how different helping professionals work with social workers to support mental health and well-being, and also to pursue social justice. Before we get started, I have two disclaimers to make. The first is that you should be aware that all the information presented in this podcast is specific to Ontario, Canada. Different professionals follow different rules and restrictions dictated by their regulatory body in their area. The second disclaimer is that nothing in this podcast should be considered medical advice or treatment. You're unique. That means that what we talk about today might not be quite right for you. So if you're interested in any topics presented here, be sure to get in contact with a professional directly. That said, let's get into today's episode. In this episode, we speak to Tanya, who's an administrative booking clerk in the COVID-19 vaccine unit in Alberta, Canada. Tanya shares information about how she transitioned into her job and the challenges she currently faces. In this episode, we will be speaking in depth about COVID-19 and vaccines. While Tanya and I are pretty obviously pro-vaccine, I do want to acknowledge that we recognize that there are people who are unable to get the COVID-19 vaccine, and I want to be really clear that we all need to remain respectful when others tell us they are not getting vaccinated. We do not have the right to harass others, and they are not obligated to disclose their personal health information. I hope that the message you'll take away from this episode is that by respecting each other and all doing our part to stay healthy, we will make it through this pandemic.
So my name is Tanya Valcastro. I am a licensed cosmetologist in the province of Alberta, which I have been in for over 30 years. My passions have led me in different directions. I am a certified medical dental administrator and have held many certifications in the travel and tour industry. I married my high school sweetheart, which I met when I was 16 years old. Together, we have raised three amazing grown children. We've been married for over 26 years. I grew up in the country, but moved into the city when I was married. It's something that you really don't appreciate till you're older, especially right now, living in the COVID world. I really appreciate my childhood a lot. During the pandemic, I utilized all of my skill sets and helped anywhere I could. And it actually led me to the field where I am right now, which is in the medical industry, booking vaccines as a vaccines booking clerk. So that's just a little bit about me. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here and for talking about this, Tanya, because I mean, your job right now is completely new. We had never really done anything like that before. And so being able to hear about it, I think it's going to be really amazing. So what were you doing before the pandemic?
So before the pandemic, I actually worked in the airline industry for 13 years. I worked for WestJet. I worked in several different departments. I worked on the phone lines. I worked off of the phone lines. I booked vacations. I booked groups. I worked in technical operations. So I got a little behind the scenes of how the airline industry worked. So it was really hard being sent home, actually, and watching everything unfold during COVID and seeing just how the airlines had been decimated, not just my own airline, but every airline around the world. When you're in the industry, you make friends with so many different airline employees. And so just watching them one by one post that they were no longer employed just ripped a hole in my heart. And being in Calgary, Calgary's the hub for WestJet. So driving by the airport and even seeing all those birds parked outside, honestly, it looked like almost a movie scene that you didn't want to be a part of. That's what I was doing, and still waiting to be recalled. So yeah, hoping and praying one day. So
yeah, the travel and tourism industry has been hit so hard by the pandemic. It makes me feel so badly for everyone who's working in those industries, as well as the countries that really rely on tourism, where it's a central part of their economy. Like that's rough. That's really difficult.
It is. And I talked to the ones that have been left behind that are on the phones, and they've had it rough too. So we offer support to them. We cheer them on. I commend anybody who's still standing as well, because it's not an easy place to be. We're on the outside looking in, and we don't know what it's like on the inside still. I honestly, I absolutely love the little airline that I started with. It's going to be the little airline when I hope to get back there, because we built it to this big airline, and to see it back down to such a tiny airline has been, it's been devastating on our end to watch it. I feel like the COVID world, kind of like everybody is indoors and you don't kind of know who's there when you're coming out. We don't know what we're going back to when we're going back in either. We've been home for so long. You don't know who's even, who's still working and who's not. Nobody talks, you know? So it's, everybody remains silent. It's hard. It's a hard time in aviation right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's been so very isolated, and it does make you really kind of realize that our relationships are very dependent on seeing other people. And so without that, even over Zoom, it's just not the same. And so we've lost a lot of connections, especially because this has gone on for so long.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people are eager to travel. We know that. It's started and stopped so many times. And, you know, there's just not, people don't know enough about COVID. So I honestly wanted to roll up my sleeves and learn as much as I could to get aviation up and running again. And that's what led me to where I was today.
I know, I absolutely miss traveling. Just before the pandemic hit, actually, right at the end of January, my partner and I had returned home from Japan. It was like a dream vacation. He had been wanting to go for so long, and we finally decided to make the plunge and do it. And so we went in January of 2020. And I remember that was right when COVID started to become more of a thing. It wasn't really in Canada yet. We hadn't shut down yet. But I remember leaving and no one was really talking about it, and coming back, and there were the big like TV screens and stuff, right, as you walk in through customs, and they were saying travel advisory for Wuhan, China. I was like, oh, yeah, this is starting to become a thing. So that must be terrifying for everyone in the travel industry at that time.
And even working in it, like you heard about it, you didn't know about it. What are we doing? What are we not doing? And you went home and it was just like, okay, stay home. We don't know if you're coming back tomorrow. And then a month turned to 3 months. And like everybody else, 3 months turns to 6 months. And here we are, what, a year and 4 months later, 5 months later. But you hear people talk about how they could just hardly wait to get away. And so we all know we need planes, trains, and automobiles just to cope and survive, right? So we know that we'll get up and running again. It's just, you know, we hope we'll be the ones that will still be there. And, you know, even if we're not the ones returning to work, we cheer on our colleagues that are still there.
Absolutely. And I think that vaccines are going to be the thing that will likely get us back to being able to travel again. So tell me about what it's like to now be the person who's facilitating people being able to get their vaccines.
Well, I was sitting at home while I was wondering what I could do to be a part of the solution. And seeing how I knew vaccines were part of the solution, even to kickstart travel, I thought, why not roll up my sleeves and be part of that? I have the skill sets to talk to people. You know, being a tradesperson, you learn so many different skill sets on the phone. It takes a lot to be talking to someone for 8 hours straight. So I applied for that job and I was absolutely over the moon. I think I skipped all the way home knowing that I got that job. It is a difficult job some days, but it is so rewarding at the end of the day. When you hear the excitement in people's voices that you can book their appointment, I have goosebumps talking about it actually. It gives them hope. And when you're giving someone hope that they can see their grandchild, or that they can travel again, or they could go back to work. Because some people actually need these in order to be able to go back to work. I've heard people tell me, I actually can't, you know, go back to work across the border. It's a requirement in some fields now, unless I have this. And you were part of the solution for them. And they can hear you smiling through. I wear a mask while I'm on the phone. You can hear the excitement in each other's voice. You can hear a smile through someone talking. The conversation just goes absolutely beautifully. Not all the conversations go that way. You can't help everybody at a certain time, but it's so rewarding. And I know you're going to hear me say that word over and over again, but that's how I actually feel in this field right now. It's just absolutely rewarding.
I think that has been a pretty common thing among people who have been a part of the vaccine rollout. I know when I got mine, I didn't actually book an appointment. There was a pop-up vaccine clinic right outside of my apartment building. It was like the luckiest thing. We got notification on our door literally like the night before and said, yep, this is it. There's a vaccine clinic right outside our door. We're going to go and do it. And the people who were there were so happy. Like, I don't know if it's just part of their job or if they were told to do it, but they were pumping up. They were having a great time. And I'm sure they weren't like that for the entire day. I'm sure they had lots of challenges that they were facing as well. But everyone there was so happy to be able to be administering these vaccines.
And every time there's a new rollout, like yesterday there was a rollout for us for second doses. And I'm telling you, when the phone line started to light up, our moods lifted too. The happiness factor, and even hearing voices, because it was quiet for a couple of days. And when it's quiet, our moods are down too, because we're actually in anticipating a different call coming in because we know we might not be able to help you. But when we know we can help you, the noise level actually rises in the call center too, because we're all in a good mood. We're cheery, we're happy. And our conversations all almost bounce off of each other, where I can hear, you know, you saying something to a guest on the other line. And I'm, I'm going to be like that on my next call. I'm going to say something like that on my next call. And that's kind of the cool thing about being back at work, even, and working together, is we're even seeing each other and we're cheering each other on rather than being at home. Because being at home, like I worked at home for 7 years. When you're having a bad day, you don't have anyone to bounce off your ideas. And when you're having a good day, you don't have anyone to share that excitement with. So being in this setting, at first when they said, oh, you're not going to work from home, I was actually a little scared at first. And then when I started the job, I understood why we were in an environment together. You need support. You need support for each other. And it's good to bounce ideas off of each other even, or to hear each other, to hear each other's excitement.
Speaking of that need for support, what kind of challenges have you been facing at your job right now?
So there was a few challenges actually in the beginning, not being able to, I don't know what it was like in Ontario, but our rollout came in stages. And so having those challenging calls, it was tough. In the beginning, I was coming back into the workforce. So I kind of didn't expect some people to be aggressive, I guess. And so you're trying to change your mindset on how to control the call. We all answer the phone cheery, happy, but you don't expect the person on the other end to be very upset right off the get-go. And so I remember my first call, your noise level might rise. And then you have to remember that the people around you are hearing it too. And it comes through on their headset. So learning how to control those kind of calls again. Some people book multiple appointments throughout the city. Having to do call-outs was challenging. I forgot what that was like. And having to explain to them, you can't have several appointments throughout the city. You got to remember you're holding vaccine space in different locations because they'll forget to cancel those appointments. And so those are difficult conversations to have with people because they'll say, well, I'll cancel it tomorrow. Well, no, I need to have those. And so that was kind of difficult. But if you're really cheery and happy in the beginning, it's hard for them to be upset with you. That's what I found, where the more I kind of talked to them, the more I was like, okay, take a deep breath. You know, you can do this. Just be kind of happy. Another thing is if they kind of do it in your setting, they're probably doing it in other settings. Like if they're holding 5 spaces in a vaccine setting, they're probably holding 5 spaces in lab settings, like when they're booking lab appointments. I don't know how it is in Ontario too, right? So you want to change the behavior because you don't want someone just not showing up for an appointment. Then they might not show up an appointment for you, right? Like it might be repetitive behavior for them. So I'm glad that we were able to stop the cycle maybe. Maybe it's just a cycle or like a repetitive cycle. Or maybe it was just fear of not getting an appointment. But that could be like anywhere. Like I said, it's fear of not getting an appointment anywhere. So it's just the right person on the other end of the phone call, just letting them know, don't worry, the appointment's going to happen, but let's find a spot that actually works for you. But those conversations were hard to have. You take a deep breath before you made the call and say, please just let this go. Okay. And then when the call ended, you're like, thank you for letting that call go. Okay. You almost have to talk to yourself. You're really good at talking to yourself and changing your own mindset when you have to make certain calls. Another thing is 811 sounds like 911. And so people sometimes dial the wrong number. And so you have to be very mindful of listening to cues to know how to help people and ask them if they need assistance and give them other numbers if they do, or know when to flag for help. Because there were instances where we actually had to call for help for certain individuals. They've been alone for a long time. Sometimes they might just be calling because they need to talk to someone. Sometimes they actually needed help. So we had to send checks on them. So you might not have been trained in that in the beginning. You learned to be trained pretty quickly. So those are some of the challenges, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredibly difficult and very like nerve-wracking experience to have someone on the other end of the line who's definitely in crisis. When I first graduated with my master's degree, the very first job I had in the field was at Kids Help Phone, and we got crisis calls all the time, but that's what we were there for. We were all trained therapists who were able to provide that support. And so we got a lot of those calls. We got them every day. I got people calling and saying that they were having thoughts of suicide. And so we would have to send some help for them. And that was hard for us. That was an extremely emotionally draining. And we were very prepared for it because we knew that going in. I can't imagine how challenging that would be to be someone who doesn't have that kind of training and to still be faced with those types of calls.
And to clear your head at the end of the day, and that's where I was like, I remember I had one call, it was at 11 o'clock at night, and then coming home, driving home and trying just to clear your mind. And the good thing is that we're in a setting where we can talk about it. We can, you know, when I went back to work the next day, I talked about it with the nurse. And so we do have help. We have scripts that we can use. And so we, you know, we talked about different, myself especially, I actually brought it up where I wanted to make sure other agents had help around it. In my other field of work, I actually had training. Like we have trainings for bomb threats, and you know, not everybody's calling when they're booking a vacation because they're just booking a vacation. They might be on vacation and something's happened on their vacation. So I'm lucky that I had a background where I knew how to help a little bit. But not everybody has that. So that's where I'm saying it's great when you have background going into another job where you have a little bit of training where it can get you at least through that next call. But it's actually rewarding at the same time knowing that you helped somebody, that you knew the cue to get somebody help. That's where I say rewarding. Like at the end of the day, I put my head down at night and I just... I'm so glad that I rolled up my sleeves to help, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such an important thing to do. And I think it really does come back to when you were talking about how, you know, you didn't want to do this job from home. You wanted to be able to continue doing it like in person. You know, being able to provide that support to one another, even just being able to turn to that person next to you and say, "Wow, that was a really rough call." It's so important, so important.
And we get, the nice thing is we get like breathers between calls. So we get 5 or 10 minutes where we can actually take a deep breath. And if we've heard someone's had a difficult call beside us, honestly, we take off our headset and we say, "Do you need help?" Where when you're working at home, you don't have that. And so I actually realized how important it was to be in that setting, how much I actually missed being around people. Even though I've had friends say, "Oh, it must be so hard to be in a mask all day." It actually isn't. I don't realize that I have it. It's become a part of me. I don't realize that I have it on anymore. Yes, at the end of my shift, we actually take it off and we celebrate when we're outside to get some fresh air at the end of 8.5 hours. We're like little kids at recess. But in the office setting itself, you don't realize that you have it on. You're just, you know, I'm just Tanya with my mask on, and you recognize me with my glasses. But you're there just supporting each other. And yes, like on a day like yesterday, all we did like during our breaks is celebrate the victory of the second rollout and how we could start helping people and this just the excitement in our voice. I was so happy when I came home and I went to bed. I don't think I've ever been that happy before. Other than I compared it to when I gave birth yesterday, when I put a Facebook post out, I said, you literally forget all the pain, like labor, and just remember how far you've come when you see the kind of the victory at the end. So, and that's kind of what I felt like yesterday. When that first call came through, I celebrated with the first call that I could take. And then it just kind of went on from there. So it was actually absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
Incredible. It mm-hmm. inspires so much hope to know that this is happening again too, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that as long as we keep pushing forward, following all of the rules, you know, wearing our masks in public, you know, people think that I'm being ridiculous, but I actually really like the aesthetic of the masks. When my partner and I were in Japan, a lot of like, that's just kind of a normal thing in Japan, yeah. wear a mask. And as we were there, I thought, oh, these people look so cool with like their black masks on their face. They're so mysterious. It's such a cool aesthetic. And so I yeah. actually wasn't super upset when I got all my black cloth masks. I really like the way they look, honestly. but as long as we keep doing that, as long as we keep wearing our masks and washing our hands and getting the vaccines, this is going to get better. It really is.
Absolutely. And if you look at when you go get your nails done, for instance, they're always wearing a mask. It's nothing new for them, right? And in Italy, as a child, I remember, and it was for different reasons. It was for pollution, okay, at the time. But as a child, I remember being in Italy and everybody actually had masks on in Milan when we got off the trains and everything. So it wasn't new to me to even see anybody with masks on. And actually, as a stylist, I would rather prefer having a mask on. I think it protects your lungs. I think of all of the damage and getting hair particles up your nose and into your lungs. I think it's protection for a lot of reasons, actually. Yeah, when people say, oh my God, how do you have that on all day? I honestly don't feel like it's there other than my glasses and I can feel it. But now I have a strap that I can use on the back of my head. I honestly don't know it's there at all. That's why I always take pictures, funny pictures, and I post it because other people are making a big deal, but it's just part of my life. I don't even know. It's just me now. It's just a picture of me with a mask on.
Yeah. It's really not that big of a deal. It's not, it's not this infringement on our freedom. Nothing like that. It's just a mask. That's it.
It's everyday ten, you know.
Amazing. Well, I'm so glad to hear that this has been a mostly positive experience and that you really feel as though this is something that's been helpful for you to be able to make a difference.
Absolutely. I honestly, the only thing that I'd like people to understand is that we are human on the other end of the phone and that if we don't make the rules, we have to follow them. So that's just the one thing. And that's in every setting. I think people think that, you know, we can break rules, but we absolutely can't. We absolutely have to follow them. It's not something that sometimes we want to do. But it's something that we absolutely have to do. There's no magic button sometimes that we can get around rules. Rules are there to be followed. And unfortunately, we have to follow them too. So that's just one thing. And I'm glad that we're human on the other end and that we're not computers and we can have a conversation. Because by having conversations, sometimes we can actually get control of the conversation maybe and you know, take the fear out of it a little bit. And make you feel a little bit more comfortable. Like people think we're going to run out of vaccines. Like we didn't know how the government was going to roll out the new plan. Like for instance, saying you could mix vaccines now. They were waiting for the scientific proof that you could mix them. You know, we have to wait for them to make the decisions before we can go ahead and follow the plan, right?
I'm really glad that you didn't bring that up about, you know, that you are human on the other end of the line. That's an issue that we run into, I think, with any sort of profession where, you know, the other person is on the phone and you can't actually see them.
A lot of people think that, you know, they can just call and be, I think they are more tough on the phone. And sometimes we're quiet. And if you're quiet, then they think you're not listening, but you're actually listening. And I talk about that in my chapter, actually. I talk about being silent and listening. And you know, the same letters and listen and silent,
but truly they are, and there's a time for each. And you need to actually listen to what the other person is saying. And that's why you're silent. You're actually taking in everything that they're saying. And sometimes I'll make notes. That way I can repeat back to you what you're saying to let you know that I'm actually listening to you. I understand what you're saying and I'm hearing you. It's not that I'm not listening to you. So we are human. And it's just that sometimes we just can't grant the wishes that you would like us to grant you. There's rules that we have to follow. And those are the hardest conversations. Those are what we call escalations on our end. They're not fun. They're the ones that we might need the breathers for. But even those can come out good in the end, because if you are, I don't want to say good, but if you know how to handle them a little bit better and you're actually listening to what they're saying, you can try to solve at least part of the problem and find a little bit of a solution for them.
That is a really important thing for people to keep in mind too, is that the person on the other end of the line might be you, and you do honestly want to help them with their problem. And so I'm sure do all of your coworkers. You wouldn't be working in that type of field if you didn't actually want these people to be able to get their vaccines.
You actually gave me goosebumps when you said that, because we are all from different walks of life. And I shadow people when they come in, when they're just starting. And the first thing I say, like, where did you come from? Like, what did you do before you came here? Like, were you a call center worker? And, you know, one will say, no, I was in HR. And, you know, I just wanted to start. I just want to help people. And so we're all coming from different fields. A lot of us were on CERB or EI, and we didn't want to be home. We wanted to help. We wanted to be part of history. We wanted to have something to tell our grandchildren to say, hey, you know, we were part of this. You know, we got to help people. And we talk about it all the time. We know that it's a contract. We know we're not there forever. But at least when we know our contract is over, we kind of feel like graduates, where we can throw our cap up high and say, we did this. Like, we were part of this.
If you could just sum it up in a few words, what message you would want people to take away from this podcast today? What would you want them to remember?
If you could absolutely think of how you could make your day better, if you could take fear away from everything right now, if you could remember to practice kindness when you're speaking to people on the other end of the phone, and if you could remember that I can't make the decision for you, but I can truly tell you that people who are receiving the vaccines are very, very happy individuals. And we're all trying to make change in the world and make it a better place right now. Whatever side of the fence you're on when it comes to vaccination, I hope you know that we're all just trying to make the world better right now. And that's what I decided to do. And that's why I rolled up my sleeves and got involved in the vaccine program. So just practice kindness.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for talking today and for what you're doing in terms of the effort to get the vaccines out there. It's very much appreciated by myself and by most people, I would say, even if some people aren't being particularly kind about it. Just know that a lot of us out here do really appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I try not to get emotional when I was trying to sum it up, so I'm sorry if I stalled a little bit.
No worries.
I was a bit emotional when I was trying to put it into words, honestly, and I am now. I just, I want to thank everybody who has been kind. It's hard to be on the other side of the phone and taking those calls some days, but just know that we are here to help you, and we are absolutely happy and sharing in your happiness when we can get you booked. It might not be in the timeline that you want us to, but we are just following the rules, and we are cheering you on, and we're excited when we can actually get that second dose booked for you, which is happening in our province. It's rolling out at the end of this month in certain guidelines, but we're happy for all of you, and we share in your happiness.
Thank you so much to Tanya for sharing her story and for the important work that she does. If you're interested in learning more about how to get vaccinated, check out the link in the description. Next week will be the concluding episode of this series with information on what to expect next from the Social Work Social podcast. Thanks for listening to the Social Work Social. By sharing information and stories, we hope that you will gain new knowledge and empathy for those who are different from you. All of us have unique backgrounds and experiences, but through our stories, we can learn to relate to one another. Our communities are currently facing extreme challenges, and we all have different strengths and skills that we bring to the table to help combat those challenges. Through working together, we can make a difference. I challenge you to go outside of your comfort zone to find an issue that you can lend your support. Tune in next Friday for another episode of the Social Work Social.